This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you're hungry for St. Louis region dining news, we are here to serve some up because it's time for a monthly rundown of new restaurant openings and closings in the STL area. As usual, my companions are Abby Larico, St. Louis Public Radio's morning newscaster and host of the Gateway Podcast. Hello, hello.
Hi.
And we have Jessica Rogan, STL PR's digital editor. What's good, Jess?
Hey.
All right, so let's tuck in here. Lunch and dinner options. There is a place that has just opened or reopened in Lindenwood Park. Jessica, tell us about Korean Food Mart.
So this is a grab-and-go spot from the former owners of Chicken 7 and Cafe Ganadara. It is supposed to be just like a Korean convenience store. And I talked to Erica yesterday, Erica Park, one of the co-owners yesterday, and she said, like, they picked all the things that were most loved on all their other menus and put it onto this menu. And so, like, if you've had their amazingly crispy Korean fried chicken, that is on there. They also have the lunch boxes where you have, like, pick a protein and put some sides in. That's there as well. They've added things like a cook-your-own ramen station and other, like, quick grab-and-go items. One funny thing is that this is in the spot that used to be Mom's Diner, and she said people have been walking in, or sorry, Mom's Deli, people have been walking in expecting to find Mom's Deli and being like, what is going on in here?
And they're getting a Amma's Bunsik. For those who understand Korean, this is something that's different.
Yeah, and she did say that a lot of them have been converted, so...
That's great to hear. Well, moving from Seoul to Soleil, Carson Soleil 2.0 is now open in downtown STL. And this represents something of a comeback, hence the 2.0. We've heard a lot about restaurants that are leaving downtown, so it's great to see that there's one that's coming in. Now, in Belleville, there's a spot called Roundabout Bar and Grill. Abby, tell us about this restaurant.
I was really excited to hear what's going to be on the menu here at Roundabout Bar and Grill in downtown Belleville. Filipino flavors, not something you necessarily would think about when you hear the name or frankly when you even kind of see the space. It's still very much a work in progress. Our friends at the Belleville News Democrat spoke with the owners. It's an investor who's owned a couple businesses in downtown Belleville before, and his friends who are a couple who actually started with plans to open up a food truck. There's an entrepreneurial spirit in this friend group for sure. They were known for selling hand-rolled lumpia at various events, and lumpia is Filipino-style egg rolls, the really thin, crispy, superior, delicious ones, in my opinion. And it just kind of evolved, and perhaps in this roundabout way, they got to opening this spot up. They're going to start with a small offering of Filipino items just to kind of ensure quality control as this is a very much a home-style operation. They're also going to have a soup and salad bar. They want it to be family-friendly, and they're actually having some – among their draft beers, they're having some conversations with local breweries about a Filipino-style house beer that they might put on tap there as well eventually. So not just San Miguel.
Yeah. Is there anything to know about Filipino-style beer?
Kind of a pilsnery style. You know, it's San Miguel is the most popular thing that you can get at like Global Food Mart and whatnot. And yeah, kind of light, but like, I don't know, has that kind of ale pilsner like, I don't know, flavor profile.
It sounds
I would say
refreshing.
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to. Well, in the spirit of talking amongst us about new places that have opened, we also get tips from our colleagues as well as our friends. And Lara Hamden, who is our engagement editor, hipped us to Aldar in Wildwood. It is a restaurant that just had its soft opening this weekend. It's now open. And apparently it is the first Yemeni restaurant in Missouri.
So that's what we think. There are Yemeni coffee shops. We've talked about this, but this is the first, like, sit down, have like the big meal experience. Mm-hmm.
So I checked out the menu and I love lamb, and there's lamb all mm-hmm. over this menu. Also spice and rice, yes please. Mm-hmm. And for those who are not familiar, Yemeni cuisine, there's a lot of slow cooking methods that are used, abundant spices like fenugreek and cumin. Cardamom and turmeric are some of those. And the communal eating tradition, which I personally love, that is something that will be on offer now in Wildwood. Before we move on, there's a spot in Chesterfield that is the opening of a new location. It's Oaxaca Margarita Bar and Grill. Their other location is in Edwardsville. Is there something of a trend maybe with Mexican spots that are expanding into counties surrounding St. Louis?
I think it just shows that everyone likes to eat Mexican
food. Nothing to complain about there. Well, moving from lunch and dinner, let's go back to breakfast. There's a reopening that people have been very excited about. Jessica, tell us about this.
You are, of course, referring to Uncle Bill's, which reopened this month on South Kings Highway. A lot of tears were shed when Uncle Bill's announced it was closing last year after more than 60 years. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we were very curious to see what it would be like. So it got purchased by the brothers who own Garcia Properties, as well as Bud's Pizza and the Golden Hoosier. They spent a year renovating it, like doing everything from adding even more wood paneling to new stained glass, chandeliers, like really kept that Uncle Bill's vibe to it, like on purpose. Ivan Garcia told me that a lot of people have walked in and been like, I remember this, and it's like something new.
I loved that in your reporting, that quote. That made me laugh.
But they also kept the food menu very similar. It's like a little pared down because they're not doing dinner. But like if you went in there and got some pancakes, which of course you have to, and eggs, you would feel like it was the old Uncle Bill's, just a little bit newer and fresher.
Yeah, and just to underscore, it is only open for breakfast and brunch right now.
Right now, yeah. So no super late or super early hours, depending on how you look at it, yet. But they did say they were, like, thinking about that, how to make that possible.
Mm-hmm. Another reopening happened in the Grove. Abby, tell us about Vincent Van Donuts.
This is one that I'm just one of many, many people out there who've been watching what's going to happen with this space. So Vincent Van Donut announced that they were closing pretty abruptly back in January. So if you're kind of been following the story of Vincent Van Donut too, it's owned actually by a former employee who bought the restaurant or the restaurant, donut shop, bakery, really, from its founder, Brian Marston, a few years ago. So it was that owner who abruptly closed it in January, then suddenly reopened at the beginning of this month. So they previously posted on social media that new owner, relatively new owner, Mike McKinley, had been in a massive car accident in the fall and that he was continuing to recover from that months later. In the reopening post, we actually learned that this was all stemming from a major mental health crisis that Mike had suffered and has been healing from, moving forward from, and he's been focusing on his health and his family. But now he and the team are back at it with big dreams, a lot of gratitude for the community that he's shared on social media, and it really is a community when you think about these kind of neighborhood spots. It becomes part of people's routine, part of people's lives, and wishing the best for Mike and his family as they kind of are able to get on track and have this community to serve him, but also in some ways feed him too.
Mm-hmm. And I think it underscores the extent to which, like we've talked about on the show, people who run these eateries, these restaurants, and those who work in them are part of community. Mm-hmm. So when something happens to them, we're not only losing a good bite to eat, there's something more mm-hmm. as well. Another place that has just opened that serves donuts is in De Pere, and this is LB Donuts, which serves up some classic dones, as they would say. Now, on the note of classics, in a different way, There is a spot that has opened very close to the station here in Grand Center, and it's Boko Boba. I think we've talked about boba on the show before. Are you two fans?
I like milk teas. I'm kind of hit or miss when it comes to actual boba, but I like boba establishments because I always like everything's on the menu. But like the boba itself, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I am one of those weirdos who does not like sweet drinks. So I'm not a big sweetened tea fan, but I actually do like the actual boba a lot. So I think someone just needs to put that in like an unsweetened beverage.
So
for me.
I'll drink your tea and you can have the little boba and tapiocas at the end. That's not gross at all.
Those tapioca balls that are really chewy, a little bit of interest texturally in the mouth. So Boko Boba is a first brick and mortar location for sisters Lily and Lucy Clark, and they operate a popular mobile tea business by the same name. In addition to these beverages, there are also a number of desserts and lots of very cute items for sale. With beverages that are meant for older folks, adult beverages, we've got pubs and bars that have just opened. Abby, tell us about an opening on South Grand.
Yeah, this one's called Mother May I, and that name's particularly resonant because I think I need to ask my mom to watch my baby so I can go hit it up and check it out finally. This is the new kind of more dive bar style cocktail bar that is replacing what was New Society. That's the basement speakeasy beneath the Natural Wine Bar on South Grand. And so I was really sad when New Society announced that it was closing. I knew it was going to be something awesome to replace it, but New Society, just as a quick reminder, very unique, creative. I shouted out my corn cocktail that I'd gotten there once, and it kind of felt like the type of thing that transported you away from St. Louis. Not that there's any reason to leave St. Louis to get a good drink, but it felt like something that was really cool to have here in the city, something so different. I have heard from people who have hit up Mother May I, this new iteration of the space, who are big into dive bars around here. They say this spot still feels fresh and new and like it has something new to offer. More of a place you can hang out all night than the previous iteration. I think sometimes dive bars can feel a little bit like you're entering someone else's space. And so perhaps this is because there's a history behind them, a clientele. Maybe this is an opportunity for someone to kind of choose your own new dive bar that's still going to be focused on making really solid cocktails, just perhaps a little more approachable and with shots and beer and even something like a happy meal on the menu. So sounds fun.
There is an opening, another one that is in the Grove, and this is a reopening of sorts. It's Oni by Blue Ocean. So I know that the Del Mar Loop Blue Ocean was much beloved. Mm-hmm. I actually had not been there myself, but this new spot sounds really interesting. Mm-hmm. Jessica, what is the buzz around this?
Yeah, so it's interesting that we're talking about this in the context of bars because they do intend to become a bar, but they don't have a liquor license yet. So just know if you go right now, you can have some of the vibes of Blue Ocean, which honestly I remember going to like when I moved to St. Louis like 20 years ago and eating their all-you-can-eat sushi lunch. But Oni looks really amazing. So Oni is named after a Japanese demon, and they've used that in the decor. There's a lot of masks inside.
Cool.
It looks like very artful. There's some murals. And they, of course, have sushi. They're also doing other food like ramen, and they have a twist on a St. Paul sandwich that I must eat. they're doing lunch and dinner right now, and I think we have all followed this one because they had like a very contentious situation with their previous location where they got kicked out by the landlord after a dispute over like rent from like a previous owner. So, you know, glad to see they've reopened. I can't wait to go in and taste both the food and their formidable drinks menu when they get their license.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to Meals on Wheels, there's a bench racers now in St. Charles. Abby, tell us about this.
Yeah, this is pretty cool to see. It's north of Main Street. I think we talk a lot about specific spaces in St. Charles, but those in the know have long been familiar with this area north of Main Street, known as Frenchtown, kind of Second Street, still kind of adjacent to the river, but it's known as Frenchtown, and it's been getting more and more attention in, like, new spots opening there. So Bench Racers is actually in an old Texaco gas station, and when I say, like, it's in an old gas station, it's not like how Taco Buddha is now in an old gas station that was a restaurant before that. This, like, was very much a big project for the owners to convert it to make it this space. It's a bar, and they're going to have music outside, outdoor seating, and really the big thing is that it's going to be a rotating, like a small rotating food truck garden. They are already have it open, so if you have a food truck concept and you want to book a slot to serve there, you're able to. And they stress a couple things that really stood out to me, that the owners call themselves owners in training, and so they are really asking for folks to kind of show up and give them a little bit of grace as they figure out the rhythm. And they really want to make sure that this is something that can be long-term and sustainable. And the other thing is they really emphasize the dog friendliness of this space. So always looking for new places to bring the pups. And so they say they are proud to be a dog-friendly destination. There's even a pup in the logo.
Mm-hmm. There's another food truck that has returned, and this is Truck Norris Twisted Eats in Ellisville. Jessica, give us a quick rundown on what happened there.
Yeah, so this is actually the return of the brick-and-mortar Truck Norris. So we reported, like so many others, you know, in January that the Ellisville restaurant had closed after the food truck had crashed. It was just, like, too many expenses all at once. Then they got like a mysterious unnamed investor. The owner told St. Louis Magazine that this was an angel investor, and that's allowed them to reopen. They did it super quickly. Like, that news went out and they hired a totally new staff and reopened this month. But it's just really exciting to, like, have that kind of, like, happy turnaround.
Mm-hmm. In the spirit of celebration, we did get some news this morning about the 2026 James Beard Award finalists, and St. Louis restaurants and chefs were among them. I want to make sure that we mention this. The three that were in national categories were Vicia for Outstanding Restaurant, Louis for Outstanding Hospitality, and Robin for Best New Restaurant. And for Best Chef Midwest, Nick Bognar of Sato and Pavilion and Lauren Knowledge of Balkan Treat Box are finalists. So congrats to you all. Best of luck. Thanks for repping STL. We're going to end on a note about patios because it is, I mean, today it's much nicer outside and we're hoping for good weather this spring. What are some of the recommendations that each of you have for the best places for, like, let's start with a best upscale patio? What would your vote be? Jessica.
I mean, well, speaking of those James Beard Award nominees, Vicia has a really beautiful patio in the Central West End. You can enjoy it with even without enjoying their delightful food, but, you know, it just makes it all the better. And they grow a lot of the things that they use on the dishes, like, around that space. And so it's really just, like, lovely at night.
Mm-hmm. How about for you? Any best in patios?
Oh, any best in patios? I got to give a quick shout out to Salt and Smoke on Main Street in St. Charles, just because that's in the old Winery of the Little Hills building, and I was glad to see that something approachable opened up there. Speaking of Golden Hoosier earlier, they have a really cool patio set up in the back. It kind of looks like a campsite. It really is designed to be such. And I also really am overdue for a visit to the Bellwether in Lafayette Square. That's a really nice rooftop space. That's lovely.
You know what's interesting? Those are all great patios and not one of them was on like my like patio list.
We've got to do a post-show discussion about this because I have so many more. As a person with dogs, I was always looking, so I have quite a list.
So is there a dog-friendly and child-friendly patio that you will be going to in the next little bit, Abby?
Most recently went to City Park Grill on Morgan Ford. It's just like a restaurant, and that's the best way to describe it. It's like if you're not sure exactly what you're in the mood for and you're not craving a specific kind of cuisine and might want a burger, might want a chicken sandwich, might want a salad, it's always got the best people hanging out there too. It's just a really nice family-friendly, dog-friendly space. And even when my dogs are a little bit too happy to see the wait staff, they're always gentle.
Milo's on the Hill also has a great child and dog friendly patio, and you can play some bocce ball.
Yeah.
Any last words on patios?
Yes, I'm going to share my favorite patio in St. Louis, which is Novella Wine Bar. You have to go through the restaurant to see it, so it's kind of secret and out of the way, but really beautiful patio, like between the buildings, and great wine imported from like the areas of the world that used to be the Soviet, and great food as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this calls for an al fresco edition of our roundup sometime. Jessica Rogan is STLPR's digital editor, and Abby Lurico is St. Louis Public Radio's morning newscaster and host of the Gateway podcast. Thanks for coming through today.
See you next month.
See ya.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.